The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Matis and Masi. In the beginning of Parashas Matis, Vaydaber Moshe al Rosh HaMatos Livnei Yisrael Lemor Zeh Hadovar Asher Tzivo Hashem. And Moshe said to the heads of the tribes of the Bnei Yisrael, this is what Hashem has commanded, Ish ki yidor neder l'Hashem, or Yishov Shvua l'Esvo Yisrael Nafshei. That when a person makes a vow, or he takes an oath to forbid something upon him, which ordinarily would be allowed, lo yachel dvorei, he shall not break his words. Everything that comes out of his mouth he shall do. The word lo yachel dvorei, that he shall not break his words, the Targum Unkelis says lo yevatel pisgome, he should not break, he should not annul. Rashi goes a little further and he says kemal lo yechalel dvorei lo yase dvorev chulin, from the word chulin. He shall not make his words chulin, which means to profane the sanctity of his words. Or the word chulin means, comes from the word, actually it comes from the word empty. And when we remove the sanctity from something, then it is referred to as chulin. So lo yachel devore means that you shall not profane the sanctity of your words. From here we see that a person with his power of speech has a sanctity through his speech, or his speech itself is sanctified. With speech he can create an oath, he can create a vow, and it becomes binding on him. If he says that this is forbidden to himself, or this he's going to do, or this he's not going to do, then it will become binding on him, then he must keep it. And if he breaks it, it's a very great avera, it's a very great transgression, and it's referred to as lo yachel devorei, that he is profaning the sanctity of his words. Actually, we see even further that in vows, which are referred to as nidrei hegdish, a person can take an item and say that it should be kodesh, it should belong to the Beis HaMikdash, and the sanctity takes effect in that animal or that particular item that he has done this. So this is a source in the Torah where we see the power of speech and the sanctity of speech. Now people usually say that it's only talk, or words, they are only words, or talk is cheap. This is what we hear. And even though there are many times in the Torah when we might need more than talk, we might need action. For example, kinyonim, when it comes to acquisitions, it's not enough. It's not enough most of the times. If we just have speech, we must have actions also. But there are many places in the Torah where we see that a person can cause a binding effect or fulfill a mitzvah with talk, with speech, and not only that, but sometimes only through speech. For example, this case here, a shvur and neder, an oath or a vow, which is a very, very serious matter. This can be only through speech. Actually, it's a question. It's a question in the authorities. What would be through writing, if you could fulfill a vow or an oath through writing? But the actual way to do it is through speech. We have another situation of witnesses, testimony. Torah tells us, Al Pishnai made him Yokum Dover, that they have to testify orally, through speech. According to some authorities, if they'll testify through writing, it's not good. Mitzvahs of tefillah, of prayer, have to be through speech. Learning of Torah, the actual mitzvahs through speech. Sfiras HaOmer, the counting of the Omer, it's a question. If you could fulfill it through writing, it has to be through speech. There are many mitzvahs that need speech and Loshon HaKodesh, that it must be in Hebrew. For example, Mikra Bikurim, when they would bring the first fruits and they would have to say over a certain parsha from the Torah, it would have to be through speech, it couldn't be through writing, and it would have to be in Loshon HaKodesh. At any rate, that from the Torah we see that by no means is there such a thing as only words and talk is very cheap, but there are many mitzvahs which one can fulfill only through speech, and we see that this speech has a power and a sanctity. Now there are many places in Chazal, in the sages, where they have warned us to be careful with our speech and to minimize speech. For example, Mishnah Novus in Perek Aleph Mishnah Tes Emor Me'at V'Ase Harbe. A person should be accustomed to saying a little and doing a lot. Should minimize his talk. Don't talk so much. Don't say so much what you're going to do, but better do it. Or we also have in Perek Aleph Mishnah Yud Zayin Shimon Benaya Imer Kol Yomai Godalti Beina Chachomim Ula Eilem Lematzosi Legutei Mishtiko. Shimon said that all of my life I have grown up amongst the wise, and I have never found anything so good for the person, for the individual, for the body, as silence. Or the Mishnah Novus also tells us, Shtiko Siog L'Chochma. Silence is a safeguard for one's wisdom. Al Tarbes Sicho. We are cautioned in many places, do not chatter, idle gossip, chatter, do not talk too much. Or another source in Ovis Perek Vov states the Memches Devorim, there are 48 attributes that a person needs to acquire Torah, and one of them is Bemir Sicho, a minimum of conversation, a minimum of idle chatter. And the sources for the Chazal are found in the Kisvei HaKodesh, in the writings. In Mishlei, Berev Dvorim Layecht Al Pesha, Shlema HaMelech said that if a person is going to speak too much, Layecht Al Pesha, if a person will speak too much, it will be very difficult for him to avoid sin. Another such source, King Solomon said, Ksil Yechoresh Chochem Yechoshev. When a fool keeps quiet, then they think he's wise. Because silence is a sign of the wise. Now, the reason why we find many places, not all of the time, but many places, that the sages cautioned us from speaking too much is not because a person should not speak, and it's not because that speech is not good. But to the contrary, because speech is so powerful. This is important. The reason why we are cautioned in so many places of speaking too much is not because speech is not good, heaven forbid, but because the power of speech is so powerful and so important, therefore it must be used with great wisdom and it must be used very, very carefully. In the example of this, is what we've quoted many times. We've gone into it at length. Tonight we won't go into it. In Bereishis Beis, Pasuk Zayin, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man, it states, "Vayitzar Hashem Elokim es Adam Ofer min Adama." Hashem created man from the dust of the earth. Vayipach ba'apav nishmas chayim, and he blew into his nostrils a living soul. Now he made man. Rashi tells us, "Osu min atachdeinim, min ha'elyonim, guf min atachdeinim, v'neshama min ha'elyonim." Man was a synthesis from the lower world and from the upper world, from the dust of the earth, and a soul from Hashem. Now, when he created man, and he made him into this synthesis, what did he become? It states, "Vayi Adam lenefesh chaya." This synthesis, the product of this synthesis, was a nefesh chaya. What is a nefesh chaya? The Targum Onkelos says, "The ruach mamalo." That man was given a power of speech. Rashi says similar, but he adds a little. He says that man became a living being. But what does it mean, a living being? The animals also are living. Achzu shel odem chayes shebekulam. The life of man is more than everyone else, than everything else. Shenitesev bo day of edibur. It became a life of intelligence, of wisdom, and speech. Now this is very important. The Almighty made man from two worlds, min ha'tachtonim and min ha'elyonim, from the lower world and the upper world. Ofer min ha'tachtonim, from the earth of the lower world, and the neshama min ha'elyonim, a soul from the upper world. He put them together, and he made them one. Took these two worlds and made one. What did man become from this? Vayodom the nefesh chaya. Man became a living being. But animals also are living beings. A higher living being. Shenitesiv bo deya v'dibur. A living being of wisdom and speech. Or like the Targum Onkelos, l'ruach mamalo. So we see that this speech was the direct product of the synthesis of both worlds. That the perfection of man, after he was made from both worlds, was that he had wisdom and he could speak. So therefore, by no means should we look at the power of speech lightly. But it was the ultimate manifestation of the synthesis of this, of the making of the man. Therefore, we must look at it very carefully. Now, there are places where the Torah has commanded us not to speak. There are areas of life where we're not allowed to talk. For example, the most well-known is one example, Shkorim, when it comes to lies. Like this parsha, Shavuos and Nedarim, oaths and vows. And this a person always has to be careful of. You know, for this reason, and many Jews would never take an oath, even if it was true, they didn't want to take. And this, for this reason, were commanded by our sages that a person must always minimize, even where it's true, you must always minimize an oath and in vows to the utmost minimum. And not only when a person takes an oath or a vow, but the sages tell us, al kol diburei, on all of his speech, he must not utter lies. The Gemara says, amashana bediburei, muter likreisi rosha. A person who says something that's not true, this means he won't keep his commitment. He commits himself to a certain thing and he breaks it. And it's just speech. This is common in the world.
Someone says they'll do something, and then later on they back out and they say, look, there's no contract yet, we didn't sign anything yet. But you said, well, it's only talk, it's oral. The Gemara says, Mute likreise rosho. You're allowed to call that person a rosho, a wicked person, and that's very strong language. What do you mean it's only talk? This is the ultimate of the human being. Nitesev by day of a dibur. That through the merging of two worlds he became a talker, and you say it's only talk. If a person says he'll do something and he backs out of it, you're allowed to call him a wicked person. The Gemara says that's not a quality of a Jew. A Jew, when he says something, he keeps it. And we learned, the yeshiva presently is learning Masechet Nedarim, which has to do with vowels. And we just learned that even though the Torah said lo yachel divorei, that you shall not make profane your vow, the Ran brings in Masechet Nedarim and of Pei Aleph Amud Beis that the Chachomim, the sages, learned from here that this also includes kol dibur v'dibur, all of your talk. Officially, formally, the Torah is referring to vows, an official vow. But since the Torah said lo yachel devorei, and it didn't say lo yachel nidrei, that you shall not profane your vow, it said you shall not profane your word. So from here is a remes, a hint, to include all of your words, that even when a person says something without officially undertaking a vow, he must be careful of its sanctity and not profane it by breaking it. This is an esmachto. And I mentioned several times that there was a case I once heard from Rafutner, Zichrei Levrocha, the Chaim Berlin Rosh Yeshiva. Actually, he had come from Warsaw. And this goes back quite a long time ago, a few centuries. And there was a great Rav of Warsaw who was known as the Chemdish Shlema. And one time he was at a simcha and he was busy talking with someone. They were talking and learning over or about something else. And it came time to eat at the simcha. And he took a fruit or a drink. And there was a balabos standing next to him. And he asked him, Rebbe, aren't you first supposed to make a brocha on cake? On mizonis? Then brocha comes first. And he was right. And the Chemdish Shlema did not want to tell him that he made a mistake, because he felt in this would lend a lightness to the importance of the order of brochas, if even the Chemdish Shlema is not so careful on it. So instead he said that I don't eat cake, and that's why I didn't make first the brocha and the cake, I took something else first. And from that day on he never ate cake, in order to be me'ames dvorov, that his word should be true. From that moment on, he never ate cake. And this is how a Jew must be careful of his words. Chaysomei shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu emes, that the symbol of Hashem, the flag of Hashem, is truth. And this is how a Jew must be careful. Too many times we see, and people always say they'll do this, they'll do that, they'll do that, they'll do this. Ah, I changed my mind. That's why the Chazal said, "Emor miat v'yaseh harbe." Don't say. If you want to do something, don't say you're going to do it. Go do it. People always say, "I'll come over, or I'll come and see you, or I'll invite you over, this and that." You want to do it, do it. Don't say it. Because if you say it, maybe you won't come to do it. And then you'll be a chezeh b'dibure. You'll be retracting your words. So it's better, do it. Emor mi'at v'yaseh harbe. because if you say, then you must do. And unfortunately, we don't see enough of this. And this is very important in chinuch when it comes to children. We let children make all kind of promises and all kind of undertakings and then break them. The Vilna Gaon wrote in his letter, his famous letter to his household, that they must educate the children. So he underlined the importance of shkorim, not to speak lies, but whatever they say must be truthful, and they must undertake. A person must keep his commitment, except where the Torah permits us otherwise. So there are places the Torah permits us to lie. There are places when the Torah says it's a mitzvah to lie. For example, for the sake of shalom, for the sake of peace, and so forth. But where we are not allowed to, then this is an area that we are not allowed to speak. Dvorim shkorim. Another area which is well known, very well known, Loshon Hara. When it comes to speak slander about other people, when it comes to speak badly about other people, to damage people's reputations and their good names. This, the Gemara says, is kimagdil averus keneged gimel chamures. But the one who speaks Loshon Hara, his avera is equal to gilarai shpichas damim averizora. Immorality, idolatry, and the spilling of blood. And this was the chet of the maraglim, of the spies which we just learned about, which caused the whole generation that went out of Egypt not to enter into Israel, Eretz Israel. And this we've gone into many, many times. Another area which is well known, where we're not allowed to talk, to use our tongue, and that's einos dvorim, to hurt people with our tongue, to say words that hurt people, that upset people, to insult people, or so forth. This is also another well-known area. We've spent time speaking about this. And the Gemara says, kol ha-sho'orim ninolim chutz mishare eino, that when the person who is hurt, if someone insults him or if someone hurts him, he cries out to Hashem, even if all of the gates of heaven will be closed, Hashem will listen to him, and he'll punish the other person. From the other aspect, there are many mitzvahs that we can fulfill only with dibur, only with speech. For example, and in these mitzvahs, it's the greatest mitzvah to talk as much as possible. There is no mitzvah to minimize. For example, Talmud Torah, the study of Torah, states with the Baal Tom Bom that you shall speak in these words. There are authorities that hold that without speech you do not fulfill the mitzvah in its totality. Only through speech. As it states with the Baal Tom Bom, you shall speak in these words. This is why there are Rishayim, there are authorities that hold that if you in the morning when you get up, you have to make a brocha, birchas haTorah, a brocha on the Torah before you start learning. But if you're just thinking and learning, you don't have to make the brocha. Only when you start to talk and learning. In many places in the Torah, we see where the Torah emphasizes this. For example, in Parshas Nitzavim, it states, Korev elecha adovere me'od beficho, ubilvov kol aseisei, that the Torah is very close to you in your mouth. And from here the sages say, Torah must be in your mouth. It's not enough that it's in your mind. It's not enough that it's in your heart. But it must be in your mouth also. Or, this is in Parshas Nitzavim, Lamed Yud Dalet. Or, in Sefer Yeshua, in Perek Aleph Pasuk Ches, Kodesh Baruch Hu came to Yeshua and he said, Leyomush haSefer haTeira hazeh mipicho. The Sefer Torah shall not cease from your mouth. The mitzvah is that it shall be in your mouth, in your speech. The Mishnah Novice counts amongst the 48 attributes that one needs to be to acquire Torah. Dibuch haverim or pilpul ha-talmidim. It's not enough that he'll learn Torah silently, but he has to communicate Torah to others. And if he will not communicate Torah to others, then he will not acquire the highest level of Torah. Dibuch haverim, he must have a haver to communicate the Torah to, and talmidim, and he must have the talmidim, the disciples, to debate the Torah with. Why? What's the matter if it's in his mind? No, it's not enough. He will not be able to acquire the highest levels without this. And the Rambam writes in Hilkas Talmud Torah Perek Gimel, Kol ha-mashmia kele b'shas Talmudei, whoever raises his voice while he's learning, then Talmudim is kan biyodei. Then his learning will remain with him. When he learns, he raises his voice, he learns out loud, then his learning will remain with him. But he who reads silently, he will quickly forget. What is the reason for this? So the Maral explains, and this is just going back to what we said. Man, if man was a malach, an angel, then he could come to, he could be totally on a spiritual level without anything physical. And Machshava, thought, is spiritual. We cannot find a chemical breakdown in thought. But being that man was created from both worlds, so the manifestation of his perfection is only through both worlds, through both the spiritual and the physical world. And therefore, when is Torah complete by him? When he brings it also into this world, not only in the spiritual world, but also into the physical world. And that is through his communication. That is through his dibur. Because speech already touches the physical world. It's done with a tongue, with a mouth, sound. So therefore, it's not enough for a man only to have Torah in his mind, but he must communicate it in this world. And there's a mitzvah to talk. And every word is a mitzvah with a great reward. A second place where it's a mitzvah to talk is brought by tefillah or krishma. The mitzvah of tefillah, of prayer, or the mitzvah of shema. There states, it states, when you read Shema, you must read it loud enough where you can hear it. Or Hamispalel, when you daven, even though when you daven in your tefillah, your Shemein Esrei, the Yud Ches Brochas, the 18 Brochas, it must be silently in order not to disturb others. But still, Boy Chituk Shafayim, you have to enunciate the words. It cannot be totally silent. But you have to enunciate the words in order that there should be dibur, because it requires speech. It does not require voice, but it requires speech. Therefore, you must clearly enunciate the words where you can hear them. The Gemara tells us in Masechta Brachos, whoever answers Yehesh Mei Rabo in the Kaddish Bechol Keche with all of his strength, Kerin Leg Zardin Shafilo Mem Ein Shona, so he will turn back a decree of even 70 years. If there would be a, heaven forbid, a bad decree against him, a decree that would bring him bad things, heaven forbid, for 70 years, if he answers Yesh Mei Rabbe B'chol Keche with all of his strength, he will turn back this decree. So the Maral Miparak says, what does it mean with all of his strength? If it means loud, then it said B'chol Kele, it should say, with all of his voice. If it means with Kavona, with good, sincere intent, so then it should say B'chol Kavonose, with all of his Kavona. Instead it says b'chol keicha. So he learns, what does it mean? Chituk shlosayim. With strong enunciation of the words. It means he doesn't have to be loud at all. Doesn't have to shout it. Does not have to be loud at all. But it must be with a clear dibur, a clear speech, a clear enunciation of words. And for the same reason that we gave before. Because then the entire man is involved in it. Then it becomes part of man himself. Otherwise, it's still far from him. It's still something which is abstract from physical man. Another area where we find a mitzvah to talk, and this is an area that people are not too aware of. This is Yirat Shamayim, the fear of heaven. Many people are thinking that if you want to be a Yirat Shamayim, the fear of heaven, then you must be quiet, you must be silent. In Malachi Gimel, near the end of the Tanakh, Pasuk Tes Zayin, it states, Oz Nidbru Yirei Hashem Ish Al Rehu. Those who fear Hashem will then speak to each other. Vayakshiv Hashem V'Yishma. And Hashem will pay heed, and he'll listen. Vayikosef Zefer Zikoran Lefonav LeYirei Hashem, and he will write it down in his book of memories. V'Lecheish V'Yishmai. And he'll remember to give reward to those people. So speaking that the Yirei Hashem, those who fear Hashem, will do a lot of talking. They'll talk to each other. What is this referring to? So the Meforshim say, Rabbi Yosef Karo, the Radak, the Metzudas David, he says, when people will rise up and speak against Hashem, and they'll speak against His Torah, and against His mitzvahs, and they'll challenge the principles of the Torah and the principles of Hashem's being, then what will the Yirei Hashem do? They will be Nidro Ish Al Rehu. They will speak to one another, Umar Bimidvorim Ha'elu, and they will elaborate. They'll do a lot of talking. V'neisi v'neistim mehem. And they will do a lot of arguing and a lot of debating. A lot of discussion. Until the people will learn, it will be understood that the ways of Hashem are perfect. This means that when we see that there is a weakness in Torah, when we see that there's a weakness in the fulfillment of the mitzvahs, in the amun and the belief, then it's a mitzvah to talk. It's a mitzvah to talk and to discuss and to debate and to communicate and to be mechazik, to strengthen other Jews and influence them. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu listens and he writes it all down and he gives reward. So here's a great mitzvah to talk. Another area, and this is in Divrei Chesed, when it comes to helping other people with your mouth. For example, healthy people, the Gemara brings on the Biechnan that he says, La'elam, nobody ever gave me a brocha, a good morning, before I gave it to him. La'elam yagdim shalom l'chol odom, to everyone. But Rabbi Biechnan used to give a shalom aleichem, a good morning, to everyone he saw, Jew and non-Jew alike, and he was first, before they would give to him, he would give them a brocha. This is a mitzvah. It's a chesed. The Gemara tells us in Ksubas, the second parak, La'elam yeidaiti shel odom u'revesin abrias, that a person always should not make himself remote from people. This also is something that unfortunately many don't understand today. A person is not allowed to make himself remote from people. But Laylam Lehidaitamu Revasim Abrias, but he should make himself interested and involved in people. And Rashi says, Vyasa Lechol Ish Gisket Seinai. his interaction with people should be every individual according to their interest. He should talk with everybody according to their interest. He should do for everyone according to their desires, but not distance himself from people. And how does he do this? Through communication. Now here we're referring to Chesed and Derech Eretz. And this is what we would call today social interaction. Person lives with other people, so he has to be part of the people. How do you be part of them? Through social interaction. So this is the mitzvah of Chesed and Derech Eretz. And this is with healthy people, with sick people. Then there's an additional mitzvah brought in Bikur Chaylim. One of the great mitzvahs of Bikur Chaylim, to visit the sick, is Ledaber Alibam, to speak to them and to encourage them. To strengthen them with your words, besides your deeds, but with your words. To make them feel better with your words. Avelim, those who mourn, there's the mitzvah Nichum Avelim. What is the mitzvah Nichum Avelim? Nichum Avelim is not just to go there and sit there and be yetze, go in and go out. But Nichum Avelim is to be menachem them, Ledaber Alibam. To speak words of comfort on their hearts. And in all of this, there's the mitzvah to be mesameach, to make someone happy. If he's an umlolim, downtrodden, it's even a greater mitzvah to make him happy. But anyone is a mitzvah to make happy. And this can be done through speech, through words. The Gemara brings in Masechta Avodah Zarah that they once met Eliyahu Hanavi, and they asked him, who are the righteous ones that are going to have a portion, a chelek in the world to come? So he pointed to two brothers, and he asked, why are they so righteous? They used to go through the marketplace and they used to look for Jews that were sad and downtrodden, and they would make jokes with them to make them happy and to bring up their spirits. And this was considered such a mitzvah, where Eliyahu said, these two will have a chelek in the world to come. So this is another area, this area of chesed and derech eretz, of interaction, where with your words you can strengthen people, you can uplift people, you can bring people close, you can be mesameach them, rejoice them. And in these areas it's a mitzvah to talk and to talk. In general we see that the whole Torah, the whole Sefer Torah, is a question of vaydaber. Continually, vaydaber, vaydaber, vaydaber. That Meisha spoke. Vaydaber Meisha Elohom. Meisha spoke to the people. Or HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Meisha Daber, speak. One of the tells of Rosh Yeshivas used to say, you're afraid people won't do it? Speak to them. You'll see they'll do it. This is what consistently Hashem was telling Meisha. When Meisha said, Heim lo yaminu bi, they won't listen to me, they won't believe me, that you have come to see me and you have come to send me to take them out of Egypt, Kodesh Baruch Hu said, go speak to them. Go and gather the Zakenim, the elders, and tell them, talk to them. You cannot say they won't believe you, or you cannot say they won't do until you've spoken to them. And the whole Torah is Daber, speak, speak, Vay Daber. So, here we have an area where words are forbidden. On the other hand, we have areas where words become the greatest powers, the greatest mitzvahs. Now, it's very important, as we can see, that a person must be very careful with his words, because they are so powerful. And so much can be done with them either way. And this is why we had so many precautions from the sages. not to talk too much or to be very careful and so forth. Where it's a mitzvah, then it's a mitzvah to talk and to elaborate. During our times, we've seen something else now. We've seen in our times, recent times, a tremendous surge of divrei nevolos, of profane language. Now, there was always profane language, it's nothing new. But what we see it now is a blatant public usage of it, of profanities. Movies, videos, televisions, media. As I mentioned, it was always used, but a person was careful where he used it. He used to say, look, you don't speak like that in public, or you don't speak like that in front of a woman, or so forth and so on. Today, it seems, if you look at the media, or the books, magazines, or the televisions, or the videos, or the movies, it seems like they want to go out of their way to use it, the profanities. And this is because they have no understanding of chokhmah, of wisdom, or of kedusha, of sanctity, of what a person's dibur is. They're very far from this, so they have no understanding in it. Unfortunately, tragically, this seeps into Jewish quarters. And this is very far from what we're speaking here, lo yachal devorei, that you shall not make your speech into chulin, say, where you should take the sanctity out of it. The sages were referring to where you make it empty, but here where you profane it, the strongest power that was given to man. The Gemara tells us, can you hand me a Masechta Psochim there, please? The Gemara tells us in Masechta Psochim, Daf Gimel, it states that Le'elam Omar Yeshua ben Levi Le'elam al Yetzi Odom Dover Megun Mipip. A person should never bring out of his mouth a Dover Meguna. Dover Meguna means a language which is disgusting. Actually, the Gemara uses three expressions. One, a Dover Meguna, a language which is disgusting. Now, there it's not speaking about Divrei Nevolos, it's not speaking about what we would refer to as profane or foul language. But Dover Meguna means it's just a word, it's not a foul language. It's just a word, though, that's not a nice word. That's Dover Meguna. Then the Gemara says that La'elam, a person should choose Loshin Nekiyo. He should find words which are Nekiyah, which are nice words, clean words. And then the Gemara also states in the Sugya that a person should be, La'elam, he should be Madaber Eder Kovet. He should always use dignified words. Eder Kovet, honorable words. Dignified words. So the Gemara brings, what are the sources for this? Share ikim hakosiv shmeina aishis velahitzi dover megunu mipiv. We see the Torah itself added an extra 8 letters. We know how important every letter is in the Sefer Torah. One letter is missing, and the Sefer Torah is not kosher. And the Torah added 8 letters in order to use a little better language. Because in Bereishis Zayin it says, min abahima ha-tehira, min abahima asher einena tahora. That when Hashem told Noach, taking all of the animals into the ark during the time of the flood, so there it speaks of the animals which were clean, the pure animals, and the animals which were unclean, impure. So instead of saying the pure animals and the impure animals, behema tmeya, it's the Torah wrote behema she'ena tahora, a behema which was not tahor. Instead of saying tmeya, a behema which is not tahor. And it's this crossed the Sefer Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, 8 extra letters. And 8 extra letters is a lot of letters to write in the Sefer Torah, when every letter, every part of a letter is important. and merely to speak a little better language. There's nothing wrong with the wrong. There's nothing foul with the word tomei. It appears many times in the Torah, but here the Torah could use a little better language, so did it, even though at the cost of 8 extra letters. And the Gemara brings many such cases. Another case the Gemara brings, that the Torah had a case where it could speak about, it's speaking about a man riding a horse, riding. Now, in cases where it wanted to speak about a woman riding a horse, it also said, riding a horse or a donkey or a camel. But in a place where it could write better, instead of riding, she was sitting, it wrote she was sitting. Because it's more derech kovod, it's more an honorable wording to speak of a woman sitting rather than riding. Because the riding requires her to spread her legs, the Gemara says. Then, the Gemara says, the Gemara brings a source from the Torah, then it brings a source from the Tanakh, and then a third source. So Gemara says, what do we need three sources for? Maybe you'll say that when we're speaking, when Hashem is writing the Torah, there the language should be perfect. But in the Gemara, that can be in any language. We learn Gemara in any language. It doesn't have to be perfect. If a word is missing in the Gemara is still kosher. So there the language doesn't have to be perfect. Therefore, we bring a second source. That Bafila Bimili, a dignified, clean, clear language. Then the Gemara says, what do you need the third source for? I would say that this is when you're engaged in Torah. But Bimili de Alma, but when you're in the marketplace, then it's not so important. All right. You shouldn't speak divrei nevolish, you shouldn't speak a foul language, but that your language should be a chosen word, not so important. Kamash Malon. Therefore, we have three sources. Then afil b'mili b'alma, afil when you're in the marketplace. Your words shall be carefully chosen, so they are derech kovod, they are honorable words. They are elegant words. And the Gemara brings two psukim on this from the Tanakh, both in Iyuv. One posuk is in Iyuv Tesvov, posuk Hey, v'sifcha loshen arumim, that you shall always choose loshen arumim. Arumim is from the word orum, wise. Like it says, the nochush orum mikol achay, is the serpent was wisest of all of the animals. You should always choose wise words. In other words, choose your words with wisdom. When you speak, speak carefully and choose your words with wisdom. What it brings when you're teaching, and there's a mitzvah to teach in a concise manner, because if you're going to use too many words, it will become complicated and it will confuse the Talmidim, the disciples. So there, all right, there you can cut some corners. You know, as long as it's still an acceptable word. But where possible, you shall choose the sifcha loshen arumim, choose your words with wisdom. Now, I had a question here. Why does it say the word arumim? Orum means wise. But orum, what is the difference between chochem and orum? Orum comes from the word ormo. We have it later in the next seder. And ormo means a cunningness, a wisdom based on a cunningness. And that's what was mentioned by the serpent. The serpent was orum, he was more cunning. So why does it use? It should say, v'sifcha loshen chachomim, you shall choose words with wisdom. Why does it use ormo, cunningness? So I saw in the Mitzudas Dovid says a very good interpretation. He says, you shall choose your words with a cunningness in order to be able to use a better word. Like the Chazal did, or like the Torah did. For example, the Torah could have written Tomei instead of wrote Eina Tohor. See, it chose the word with a cunningness to use a secondary word which infers to what we're speaking, rather than to use the direct word, because it was nicer to do that way. Or, for example, by the isha, by the woman, it said yeshevas, she, rather than she is riding, she is sitting, and it inferred what she was doing. So that's what is meant. V'sivcha loshen arumim, you shall choose your words with wisdom and with cunningness. And then a second source is brought, and that is in Iyuv Lamed Gimel, Posuk Gimel. V'das fosai borur milelu, which means my lips, sfosai das borur milelu, my lips shall speak das borur, a clear language. Borur means something which is clear from all error, something which is clear from all confusion, and something which is clear. Borur also means something which is clear from all alien elements, something which is clean. That when a person speaks, he shall look for a das borur, words which are clear from confusion, words which are clear from error, and words which have a clarity that they're clear from any foreign element. In other words, a clean, sparkling word. So this is what we were commanded to speak with. Why? It's evident after what we've learned this evening. Why? We're dealing here with the ultimate manifestation of the perfection of man when it came to the merging of the two worlds. And he can move worlds with his speech. Therefore, das fosai boru milelu. He shall choose his words with great wisdom and with a great clarity. Words which are clear from confusion, from error, and from which words which are sparkling and do not have a foreign mixture in them. And then the Gemara brings here. The Gemara brings a few cases. It brings a case Ani Trei Talmidei. There were two disciples, Daviyasmek and Maeda Rav. They were sitting in front of Rav learning that day. After they learned the whole day and they went through a very, very difficult sugya, very difficult Gemara, the whole day, they were tired out. Chadoma Shasfinin Hashbaitze Kid Devar Acher Bisankun. One said that this discussion today, this learning today, tired me out like a fatigued swine. And the other one said, and the other one said that this learning today tired me out like a fatigued goat. And Rav, who was the Rebbe, after he heard the Talmud, the first one, he wouldn't talk to him anymore. Not that, you see, he said a swine, a pig. It's not a filthy word. It's a word, it's an acceptable word. It's in the Torah, Chazir. But he could have used das borur, he could have used a more sparkly, a more cleaner language, and he used that. Rav didn't want to talk to him anymore. He saw this was a shortcoming, an enormous shortcoming in the Talmud, in the disciple. Then the Gemara brings another case. Hani Trei Talmidei Aviyas Mikamede Hil. Echad Menai Rabbi Yechman Zakeh. There were two disciples that were sitting in front of Hillel, the great Hillel Azokin. And one of them was Rabbi Yechman Zakeh. Rabbi Yechman Zakeh was later on to become the leader of the generation during the time of the destruction of the temple. Amri lo, some say that was not the story. It wasn't Hillel, but it was Kamei the Rebbe. It happened later, much later. And they were sitting in front of Rebbe, Bechad Menai Rabbi Yechman. And it wasn't Rabbi Yechman Zakeh, but it was Rabbi Yechman. This was centuries later. But still, that Rabbi Yechanan was also the leader of his generation. He's the one under him that the Talmud Yishalmi was written in Eretz Yisrael. He was the leader of the whole generation in Eretz Yisrael. So it's a question if we're speaking of Rabbi Yechanan Zakai or Rabbi Yechanan. Chad Omar, so there were two disciples. One said, why is it, the halacha, the law is that when you cut off grapes, so the instruments that you use to cut the grapes must be tohar, they must be pure. They cannot be tomei, they cannot be impure, lest you cause a tumen impurity to the grapes and the wine. But when you cut olives, then the instruments do not have to be pure. So he said like this, why do, when you cut grapes, it has to be betahara? And why, when you cut olives, it does not have to be betahara? The other one came along and asked the same question. But he said, why when you cut grapes it has to be betahara? And why when you cut olives you can do it betumah, with impurity? In other words, Rabbi Yochanan, he didn't say, why can you do it with impure? Why can you do it with tomei? But you don't have to do it in purity. He didn't use the word impure. He said you don't have to do it with purity. While the other one used the word impure. Now this is a very delicate, subtle difference. Still, the Rebbe, of these two Talmidim, whether he was Hillel or whether he was Rebbe, he noticed the subtle difference. And he said, Muftachani b'zeh, the one that used the subtle difference, Loshen Arumim, Arumim. He chose his words carefully, and he used a subtle difference in order to use a better, clearer, more elegant word. He said on him, Muftachani b'zeh shemeireh Rabbi Yisrael. He says, I am confident that one day this man will become a great Rav in Israel. And it was not long before this man was a great Rav in Israel, where his Hera Hira, he was rendering decisions for all of Israel. And this was either the great Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai or the later great Rabbi Yochanan. The Gemara goes on, but these are a few extractions from the Gemara. So we see, contrary to the popular trend of today, where it seems that the more foul language and the more disgusting language one can use, the better it is. And unfortunately, it goes into all types of circles. This is a enormous defamation of the Keah HaDibur, of the power of speech that was given to man. And this is a defamation, as we see, of the personality of man himself. Because Rav, when he heard one talk like that, he didn't want to talk to him anymore. He says, this is not a Talmud of mine. He could see that this was an enormous shortcoming in him. And on Rabbi Yochanan, he said, I could see the way, how careful he is with his language. I can see that one day he'll be a great Rav in Israel. So, these are a few examples of the enormous power of speech that was given to man. But the table that actually Shlema HaMelech said that Amovis Ba'achayim Yara Losh, the tongue is so powerful that death and life are beheld by the tongue, both to others and to himself. Therefore a person must learn that speech is not cheap. It's not cheap at all. And we don't say it's only words. There is much that can be achieved with words and with nothing else. Therefore the Chazal tell us that we should always be very careful with our words. Lo yachel devore. We shall not bring chulin. Do not desecrate the sanctification of your words. Kechol ayetze mipiv yaseh, whatever comes forth from our mouths, we shall fulfill.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.